Hello and welcome to Camera Dads. I am Simon.
And I am Phil.
And we are the Camera Dads. We are back. It's been a little while, a couple of years, but we are still around, still dads, still using our cameras a lot. A lot has happened since we were since we recorded our last episode, but we've had a lot of people ask, when are you guys going to do another episode? And we have been asking ourselves, when are we going to do another episode? And here we are. Our kids are all a little older, and we use our cameras just as much, if not more, as we did when you last heard from us, just in different kind of ways. And so that's what we're here to talk about. And for tonight, or tonight as we record this, for this first inaugural new episode, we're just going to give you all a little bit of background on what we've been up to the past couple years and talk a little bit about our cameras and being dads with cameras and talk a little bit about where we want to take this show in the next several years. So how's that sound to you, Phil?
That sounds good. Thanks for the intro. Good to see you again.
You too.
on the podcast. I want to hit you with some numbers. It's been 5 years.
Has it really? It's I been haven't
five
looked.
5 years.
Wow. So I still gonna... pay it every time the domain name renewal comes up. I still pay it because I want to get back to this show. And here we are. We're getting back to the show.
Yeah. Man, it's been a long time. And I wanted to officially welcome anyone who does listen to this to what I'm calling season two of Camera Dads.
I love it.
We're taking the George R. R. Martin approach,
sure,
to our show. But no, it's good. Like you said, I've been wanting to do this again for a long time. Our family makes vision boards every December, January, and a big poster board, and everybody makes their own, and we put on that what we want to do or accomplish or change, you know, in the coming year. And one of the things that's on mine was camera debt. So that's been hanging on the wall upstairs since January. And, you know, we've been talking about this a little bit here, a little bit there. And I want to get back to this, and I enjoy doing it with you. I enjoy talking shop, and I'm glad that we have some people out there that listen.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get some people that pick up on this one and that still listen. And
special shout out to D. Welker.
Absolutely.
He follows me on, for those of you who don't know, I have my own photo blog, Weekly 50, F-I-F-T-Y, weekly50.com. And D. Welker has been following me on Weekly 50, where I don't really talk about my kids. It's more about just my camera. And he has asked me a couple times over the years, when are you going to get back to Camera Dads? And so thank you, D. Here we are. We're back.
We're back. Yeah. So, and I just want to point out too, for those of you who are listening or watching, first of all, thank you. This being the first time back in several years, we have different audio setups, different, you know, I don't want to say studios, but different recording environments and audio setups and stuff. So hopefully we sound okay and we look okay. But if anyone has a comment on the audio or the video, please let us know. Happy to get that feedback. Because this is kind of all new again.
Yeah, I think
for us,
Phil, we were talking the last time we did this, we were on Google Hangouts, which was just so we're on Zoom now, and it's going well. And I just want to tell our listeners / viewers on YouTube, maybe a little bit of a change from what we did before. So when Phil and I started this podcast, we had a more rigorous approach where we had a regular recording schedule. I think it was like once the first Monday of each month or something like that. And we had some specific goals. We had written out show notes for each show because we took it seriously. And we know that you all take your time to be with us, and we want to respect your time. But what we realized was that works for a lot of podcasts, but it just didn't work for us. We set a goal that wasn't really compatible with our lifestyles because we are dads, and our kids, every day, our kids take whatever plans we had and say, nope, we have different ideas for your plans. So sticking to that type of rigorous schedule, it just didn't work. So what you can expect going forward is just a conversation between Phil and I. We're going to have hopefully a some sort of topic so you know what to expect for that week's show. And we're going to just play it fast and loose. Phil and I both view this as hanging out with each other. We live 400 miles apart and we chat on Signal and on messages and stuff, but we don't hang out in person. And so this is a chance for us to hang out and talk shop, like Phil said. Talk about cameras, anything related to cameras and photography, and maybe even get into some other things like camera adjacent. Like Phil does a lot of work on an app called Procreate, which is, it's more artistic than photography related, but it does involve photos and photography. So we don't want to just sit and ramble with no topic because that's not really interesting to anybody. But that's what you can expect going forward. Now for tonight though, it's sort of our catch-up episode where we're just going to be talking about what we've been doing the past 5 years. But going forward, we would like to have some sort of a general broad topic that we'd like to talk about. So you, the viewers and listeners, know what to expect. And we're not going to have pages of detailed show notes written out beforehand. Like, we just want a conversation. We just want to hang out, and we invite you to hang out with us. So... Phil, did I get that?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, that's okay. Perfect. Thank you for pointing that out. It's funny because we, you know, doing this show originally, we had, I don't know, in my head, it was kind of like, what do you do when you have a podcast? And you and I listened to, you know, we would watch shows like, This Week in Tech, Twit, mm-hmm. Buzz Out Loud.
Buzz Out
Loud. Dignation. I think I'm dating myself.
But, yeah, we're like early podcasts here. Dignation.
And then I think that we had this sort of thing in our minds that if we're going to do a podcast, this is how a podcast works. It's a scheduled thing with a topic, with some kind of an agenda.
Yeah.
I think that where we ended up with what I'm going to call season one mm-hmm. was... a show that was incompatible with our lives, camera dads. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons that it kind of fizzled out, is because the idea of a scheduled show with a scheduled topic, with something that you and I have to put prep work into, actually ended up being a detriment to what we were producing, and it kind of derailed something that could have been. So here's hoping that with this going forward, it becomes much more casual, and it's a chance for you and I to hang out, like you said, talk shop, and just catch up, share whatever it is that we've been doing lately, or techniques and that mm-hmm. kind of thing, but without the rigor of it being I don't want to say a job.
But, I don't want to view this as homework. I want it just to
be. Yeah.
So I think, Phil, I agree. You did a really good job of I think explaining why it didn't quite work out so well. And it's a learning process, right? Like, we did what we thought we were supposed to do, and turns out that format works for some podcasts and works quite well, but it just didn't quite work for us and our lifestyles as just normal people with families, wives and kids. So,
I mean, if podcasting was our job, then I think that we would be able to put 4, 5, 6 hours into every single episode, but that's not what I want to do. I want to be the camera dad that I am and let you be the camera dad that you are, emphasis mm-hmm. on dad. And then when we have a chance to sit down and do this, then we just do it, and hopefully that will, snowball a bit of an audience as we go and get some interaction and just enjoy it.
I agree. And I'm looking forward to it. And I appreciate all of you who are listening and watching. And like Phil said, love to have your input on all of this as well, especially if you are also balancing photography with being a parent. Just because we are dads, we can't call it camera moms because we're not moms, but if you are a camera mom, we want you're just as much a part of this as anybody. And Phil, so let me ask you, what have you been up to the past 5 years?
That's a great question. A lot of stuff. I feel like I've leveled up quite a few different areas over the last 5 years.
Like life or photography?
Well, both.
Okay.
And in Skyrim, because I'm playing that again. But
indeed.
I've probably said this back in the previous episodes, but in my mind, you've always been sort of a mentor to me, as a photography sort of mentor. And you're probably going to be like, oh, that's so nice. But I think you know that, and I want you to know that. You know, you, in my mind, you've always been several steps, quote unquote, ahead of me, as far as when I have questions about new cameras or new gear or how to do something that I didn't know how to do before, I will ask you, and you will gladly take the time and, you know, help me out, help me to continue to stretch and learn. Because of some things that you have shown me, I think I have completely stepped up my game over the last 5 years in a couple of specific ways.
I don't think you have, Phil. I know you have. Well, because I see the results.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I want a couple of specific things, though, that I want to bring up that I have felt myself grow as a photographer over the last several years. And one of the big things is using Lightroom. I've had it for almost 2.5 years now. And the only reason I got into Lightroom was at your recommendation. So back when we were doing the show before, I feel like I did a topic on this, where I didn't know what to do with photos after I took them.
I used Google
Photos sure. as kind of an archive place, and I'd make albums and things like that. But I could feel, as a growing photographer, I could feel sort of this end, this sort of block of, oh, I take all these photos and I look at them, but then what? Like, what do you do now? And I hit that hard a couple of years ago. I don't even know if or what I was doing before I started using Lightroom, but probably 2.5, 3 years ago, I had Google Photos, but I didn't do anything with them.
Okay.
And I remember describing this exact situation to my wife and to you. What do I do now? And you introduced me to Lightroom, and this is not an ad, but in any way, there's tons of apps out there, but a little over 2 years ago, I got an iPad and a subscription to Lightroom, and I have been using that to manage my photos. I've got a photo library with probably 150,000 photos in it. It's everything. It's 25 years worth of digital photos.
You're serious. You had a digital camera in like 1999.
Yeah, that's not hyperbole. I had a digital camera before. I believe I owned the first digital camera with the word megapixel on it.
Let's say Kodak.
Kodak DC200.
Was that it?
It took four AA
batteries. I remember
four
that.
AA batteries. Yeah. And I don't know. So I feel like as I've grown over the years, and this I could name a lot of different things that have happened through the last 25 years, where I hit some kind of dead end. I shouldn't call it a dead end.
Like a roadblock.
A roadblock or the end of a level. And then there is a significant room for growth or a significant door waiting to be opened, whether that's switching from a pocket cam to a DSLR, or switching from, you know, just having folders on your desktop with pictures in them to some kind of management software. Or in my case, the one that's been significant for me is using an iPad with Lightroom and beginning to learn how to not just become a photographer, but someone who can do post-production, make edits to your photos, learn more things about cropping and color correction and exposure and lighting and masks and, you know, we can talk for hours on what you can do with something like Lightroom. But that's one of the most significant things over the last 5 years that I have personally leveled up with.
I would agree. When you talk about leveling up, some people think that means you just bought better gear. And certainly that's a component for some people. But I have felt the same way personally, but I've also seen that in you since you mentioned the specifically some things like Lightroom. And I think it's all, it kind of goes back to that theme that we started talking about at the beginning of we had to make this podcast fit our life. And if someone out there is using Google Photos or Apple Photos or whatever your thing is, like, you do what you got to do. Use what works for you. And if I'm hearing you right, and tell me if I'm not, you hit this place where the tools you had, or maybe what you wanted to do, there was this gap between where you wanted to get to or the kinds of things that you wanted to do and the current tools you had available through like maybe Google Photos. It just wasn't quite meeting your needs. And the solution that you found was to, since we're talking about what have we done over the past 5 years? Like that's one thing that you've done is you moved to a solution that seems to fit your needs and your goals and even just your lifestyle. Because speaking of how you, or by that, I mean, you will take photos on your DSLR and then put them on your micro SD card and put that in a card reader for the iPad and upload them to Lightroom after the soccer game or something like that. So, you found something that works for you and, I think that's a really important part for anybody who's doing some sort of hobby. You got to figure out how to fit in your life and how to close that gap. Or if you hit that roadblock, how to deal with that roadblock. Is that right?
Okay. No, you're absolutely right. And I hope I just didn't get suddenly louder.
No, you'd sound great. Nothing changed
over here. I absolutely don't want to come across as though we're talking down to anybody with a photography hobby or anybody or anything else. As I do not want to give anyone the impression that what you're using today isn't good enough, or that you are required to level up because that's just what you do. As you were talking, I'm reminded of this advice comes across all the time. It's funny because it's a podcast advice. Someone like MKBHD will tell you.
Yeah. Marcus Brownlee
will tell you just start, you know, if you want to do something, just grab your phone and start making videos and let the content mature over time. And don't worry about, you know, don't invest in expensive gear that you don't know how to use.
It's funny that when you say that, so I just did a photo shoot for clients 3 weeks ago, I think. And I do about two of those a year, which is the right amount for me. The camera that I use for the entire shoot was my Nikon D750. It's a full frame camera. That camera's 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And that model came out in 2014. I think I got mine in 2015. So my specific camera is 9 years old. And the lens I used for the entire shoot is 70-200 f/2.8 GEDVR2. I think it is not it is a couple generations old. And I show up to this photo shoot with gear that I know how to use pretty well, but it's not the newest gear. And so like this goes back to what you were talking about how you have kind of leveled up. I have learned to grow my skills in other ways. I have gotten some new gear. I've gotten a lot of these off-camera lights, which I'd love to talk about at some point in the podcast. But when I show up to this photo shoot, immediately I find myself looking at things that I never considered in years past, such as where exactly is the light coming from and where is it going to be in a half an hour? What are some places that we can go around this garden here, this botanic garden, that are going to look good given what I know of this family? And how should I use, we have about 1 hour before the kids start to lose it. And how can I make the most of that time? And so all of these things were going through my head that I never would have thought about before. Before it would have just been like, do I have the latest mirrorless camera? Do I have a Nikon Z8 or a Nikon Z9? I need a new camera.
That's not going to get, that's going to get you, just by nature being there, marginally better photos at best.
Right.
But it will not replace the 5 years of experience that you have slowly acquired.
Right.
Just learning how sunlight affects your subjects and all the other things.
Yeah. And not once did the clients ask me what kind of camera I had, or question the fact that I wasn't on a mirrorless camera, which I mean, if I could get one for free, if someone was like, here, have a Nikon Z8, I wouldn't turn it down. But my current gear works great. And I don't really have a reason. It's sort of like my iPhone. The iPhone I have is like a couple years old and works fine. It's not a fancy one. It's an SE, but it works fine. And I don't really have a need for a newer phone, because what I have, it meets my needs. And instead I've tried to look at other ways that I can learn and grow. And that's what I've been up to the past 5 years, is just my kids are older and I don't take the same types of photos that I used to when they were infants, certainly. But I still take a lot of photos of them, and the way in which I approach that has certainly changed over the years. But even just tonight, they were making lunches for school tomorrow, and I took some pictures of them making lunches. So just because it was kind of a cute little moment. And so I keep coming back to this sort of duality where I want to constantly be learning and growing. I don't want to just become stagnant as a photographer. But I also don't want to forget the daily things either. Just the joys of taking a picture of my kids as they're making lunches, stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm not sure how to best get this across, but so I'll try. You know, we talk about these roadblocks or, you know, dead ends or whatever you want to call them. I just don't want to give any listeners the impression that, you know, what you're doing now isn't good enough, and that there's a better way to do something, and that because you have now done this for so long, the next thing that you should do as a photographer is do this or get this. The path that I've taken over the last 25 years, and, you know, more recently the last five, is where are my interests taking me? And as I realize how my interests are changing, I will put effort into that and how I can grow in a particular area. It's not, I've had my camera for 2 years and there's a new body that just came out, I'm going to go get that one. You know, like the mirrorless. I got a buddy that upgraded to mirrorless and he was all about it. And I'm like, that's, you know, that's great. And I, for a few minutes, was like, yes, I want that. Obviously, that's the new thing. But that wouldn't do anything for me. You know, one of the coolest things that I've obtained over the last couple of years is a macro lens.
Oh man, I was just going to go there.
I have been taking.
You beat me to it.
Again, this is not hyperbole. I've been taking close-up photos for 25 years.
I can go back to photos of
stuff when we were kids. You know, I'm like 14, 15 years old on our vacations with that very first DSLR or digital camera, and they're crappy photos, but I can picture these photos we took when I was kids of close-up subjects.
I think you took macro close-up photos with your black and white Game Boy camera. Let's be honest.
You know what?
Here.
You're probably not wrong. I believe I have prints from that thing in this room. Man, there's so much to talk about. I got a macro lens from a guy at work. So, all right. So I met a guy online. I work remote. I've worked remote for 7 years and a couple of different jobs, and you meet really cool people doing that. And I met a guy at work, and you know, we talked on Slack or whatever, and got to know each other pretty well over photography. And he was willing to ship me a macro lens that he no longer used, let me try it, and if I liked it, he'd sell it to me.
That's pretty great.
And if I didn't like it, all I had to do was ship it back. Mm-hmm. I had never even met this guy in real life. And now this is one of my absolute favorite lenses. I think I've had it either a year and a half or 2.5 years. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal lens.
And it's not like I was, I guess I don't know where I'm going with this, but that's the point. It's not like I was like, oh, I need to get a macro lens because I want to take better macro shots. It was like, okay, I started putting my camera really close, thinking that was okay. At some point, many, many years ago, you bought me a set of these close-up filters.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like $20 four-pack.
It's like a very inexpensive way to
magnifiers, play around. Essentially.
Yeah, it's like a magnifying glass you stick in the end of your camera. Super inexpensive, great option for anyone who just wants to try close-up photography but doesn't want to spend a lot of money. Get some close-up filters.
And I like those. Those were great until it didn't take too long until I ran into its limitations and started realizing that, that's it. It came naturally. It's like, okay, here's the thing to help you take better close-up shots. And as I did that, I started to learn what its limitations were and started to realize that there was more I wanted to do. It wasn't, I'm going to go buy a $500 macro lens because I want to take great macro shots. It happened naturally in that as I hit the edges of what my current gear was capable of, I started seeing things that I got curious about and wanted to do better with.
So let me give you the counterexample to that. When I got my first DSLR, my Nikon D200, in the spring of 2012, and I started my weekly 50 blog in the spring of 2013, and I listened to and I still do listen to a lot of photography podcasts, watch a lot of photography YouTubers, and I learned pretty quick that I really like taking a certain type of photo. And I would listen to other people talking about taking pictures. And one type of photography often came up, which was street photography. And people would be talking like how much they would enjoy going around taking street photos and how to do that and the types of gear and types of techniques. So I thought, I had this misconception after a couple of years, like 2015 or so, I thought, I was like, well, everyone I listen to on podcasts and YouTube, like they're always talking about street photography. Maybe that's what I should do. I don't really want to do it, but that's what everyone's talking about. I should probably do that. So I tried it and I went through this little phase where I took my camera out to public places and would just take pictures of people on the street, like walking around or eating a table or something. And I always felt weird. It was super awkward and cringy. I wasn't using like a zoom lens and creeping on people. I thought that's what you were supposed to do if you wanted to get better and expand your skills of photography. You had to do street photography because people on YouTube talk about street photography, people on podcasts, street photography. And so I was like, well, I'm clearly deficient as a photographer because I'm not doing street photography. And I learned that I just don't like it. and it makes me uncomfortable. It's weird. I never got the sense that anyone minded. So no one was ever like, how dare you? why did you take my picture? You random, like, I never got negative feedback from people, but I just didn't like doing it. And I thought for a little while, I thought that that made me a bad photographer because I didn't like doing street photography. And I have come to this place in the years since that I don't care about street photography. I just don't like it. And I don't want to do it. So I don't do it. I have learned the types of photos I enjoy taking, and I've learned things that I want to do that, like you wanted to do more macro photography, and you realized that you couldn't do what you were wanting to do because there was something missing. And it turns out in your case, there was some gear to buy. Yeah. And that's often not the case. And you mentioned that with Lightroom too. Like, it turns out that Lightroom actually met your needs better than Google Photos. But again, if someone is using an old camera or a mobile camera or a point and shoot and using Google Photos, like, you do whatever works for you. But if you hit point where you feel like you're not, there's something in the way of what you want to get to, then it might be time to take some action.
But I got it. I have to interrupt. And I want to say, because if I were me 10 years ago, a fan of Camera Dad listening to this podcast, I would probably get the impression that upon myself, not because the hosts are telling me to, but I would get it on myself that I really should check out Lightroom.
Yeah.
Because I'm using Google Photos and I'm taking tons of pictures on my phone and I'm having fun with it, but what am I missing by not having Lightroom? And what am I missing by not having a macro lens? And oh, I should probably go try street photography too.
No, don't.
Please don't. Like, I don't know how else to drive that point home, but I'm imagining myself listening to a show like this 10, 15 years ago when Google Photos was doing everything I wanted it to do at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I was not limited. In my interests and the way I took photos and the way I managed photos, Google Photos and the gear that I had at the time did everything I wanted it to do. And it's never, I think the key point I feel like we're landing on is
land that plane, Phil.
Don't force yourself to level up or to upgrade, whether it's software, whether it's gear, whether it's, you're using a laptop and you think it's slow, so you won't need to buy a new computer. Like, I feel like the best way to sum this up is don't force yourself into something new because you feel like it's going to do something for you, but let yourself, let those level ups kind of present themselves naturally.
That sounds, I think
that I don't know that I'm saying that quite right, but I hope you're picking up what I'm putting down.
I think so. And for me, I know that I have grown and changed and improved as a photographer over the last 5 years. But not because I felt like I had to. There were things that I just sort of felt like I wanted to try this, and I wanted to maybe get better at this and maybe explore this. And there have been things that have come my way that I've realized are not for me, but I know that I am, like, number one, I'm happy with myself. I feel no pressure to try a technique that I don't want to try or do something I don't want to do. I'm really happy with my own skills, and I still see there are things that I would like to learn more about and do better, but I'm going to do them when I'm ready on my own terms. And my number one priority is always going to be my wife, my kids. And if I can work photography into that equation, great. But if not, if something's going to give, it's going to be camera stuff or a podcast. Like, that has to be secondary. So, but I feel like I'm in a really good place, and not that I was in a bad place. I was fine before, but over the past 5 years, that's kind of like, that would probably sum up my growth or photographic journey over the past 5 years is improving in ways that I want to improve and learning new things that I want to learn, and not feeling pressure. So I've abandoned the mentality that I had 10 years ago, which was I have to do street photography. And if you are someone who does street photography, more power to you. Do what you got to do. But I've learned that that's just not for me.
Yeah, well put. And I think the 5-year thing is kind of oddly apt, because I just wanted to make one more point that I thought of. And that's when you do get a new thing, whether it's software or a camera body or a lens or a technique or what have you, you need to give yourself as much time as it takes to
totally
to become comfortable with that. And don't ever feel like you are deficient in something because you don't know how to use it all. You know, Lightroom, I had never done a mask before. I had never, changed an exposure slider. Uh-huh. And Lightroom is a fairly professional level editing tool. And it takes a long time. I mean, I've been a Lightroom user for 2.5-ish years, and there is a ton that I don't know how to do. And if you could go back just even 2.5 years ago and tell myself, hey, this is going to be a great tool for you, but it's going to take a long time to learn. So give yourself some grace as you learn that tool.
Yep.
If you get a new lens and it's got an extra button on the side, you don't know what it does. Don't feel guilty because you don't know how to use, or not, maybe not a lens, not, but a body. You know, I got a new camera body a year and a half ago or something.
Like a D7500?
A D7200 is what I'm using.
A 7200. Okay.
And there are still buttons on it that I don't know what they do.
And that's okay.
And at the time, I go through this phase of like, I should know.
Uh-huh.
Why?
Yeah, I know.
Give yourself the okay to like, all right, here's a next level, and I think that's where I want to go.
Uh-huh.
But when you step up to that next level, you could feel this big. You could feel just completely overwhelmed.
Yeah, and Phil's making a very, fine. For those listeners, he's making a very tiny motion with his fingers. Yeah. So our dad, when he gets something new, like a new camera, he will spend the next several days reading through every single page of the user manual because he wants to know what every single button does. I just want to start shooting with it, and I kind of learn stuff later. And I used to feel the same way. I when I got my D200 way back in 2012, I thought, okay, this is like a pro camera. I need to learn what every button does, or I'm a chump for buying this camera. And that was not the case. Even today, that D200 probably does things that I don't know how to do. So
if you're out there and you're listening to this, first of all, thank you. And if you feel that way, I'm talking to you, young Phil and young Simon from 5 years, 10 years, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You're fine. You're good.
Totally fine. Learn at your own pace and enjoy it as you go. There is no pressure. If a year goes by and you still don't know what that button does, who cares?
Yeah. Or message Phil and ask him.
Or message me and ask. I think I would like to wrap this up. This has been fun. I really enjoyed
great,
this.
Phil. Thank you, Phil. I'm going to stop the recording. Thank you all for listening to me and part of this. Looking forward to where season 2 takes us.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks again for playing along out there, and hopefully we'll be back within a couple of weeks and get this thing rolling.
All right. See you later, everybody.
See ya.